Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And, hey, first of all, Mark, how were your holidays?
Oh, they were great.
Good.
Yours?
Phenomenal.
Awesome.
Phenomenal. I had the flu Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
That's nice.
And
I got a bunch of movies. I will go ahead and tell everybody now, you have started doing this solo show without me.
Yes.
The weekly dropkick. Yes. And that's fine.
Yes.
That's a good thing. We're not always together.
Right.
I am working on a different series.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with wrestling.
Right.
That will still be posted because another thing that I really enjoy is movies.
Yes, sir.
And I have recorded a video that you have to now teach me how to upload.
Yes. Because
I've tried to sign into our YouTube account.
Yeah.
And I have to verify it all these different ways. And as everybody knows, not technically smart at all. I'm not technically smart. Let's just leave it at that. I'm not technically smart.
Technically,
I'm not an educated man.
That is correct.
And, but what I did was I got a ton of gift cards and I got money. Plus, people just give me movies.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start doing some DVD
reviews
and updates of some things.
Yeah.
Like when I get stuff and talk about different things with DVDs, just show some cool stuff. Because I know, I watch movies a lot. I'm a big, obviously. And I follow that kind of stuff on YouTube because sometimes you'll hear about a movie. Man, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's a different angle to approach with stuff. And so I'm going to go that route with it. Because I don't follow wrestling like you do, the new stuff.
Right.
So there's no reason for me to try to get in a conversation in it because I can't educatedly speak about what's currently going on in wrestling. And unlike a lot of people, I'm not going to attempt to.
Right. So I just realized, when we were preparing for today, I didn't even put Rogue One down there. So we'll have to record.
I still have not seen it though.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
So let me just, as if he needs this, he doesn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want to put Mark over as far as his. And I'm not just talking about today. I want to share a story that I'll never forget. High school. All right? There was a song that came out. And I might get some, people may make fun of me for this.
Is Milli Vanilli?
I don't know. But, Rod Stewart did a version of Elton John's song, Your Song.
Okay.
All right? Had no idea where... But one day we were sitting at lunch. I said, what album is that on? And Mark, without skipping a beat, oh, that's Two Rooms, the Best of Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
And technically that may be true. It is on that album. But it would have, it's on his greatest hits album. What are you talking about?
No. You knew the specific album that it was on.
Yeah.
I bought the tape then. What made me think about it is there's another, I heard the song, I don't know if it was Dan, I heard an Elton John song.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I liked a version from that album. Not on iTunes. I ordered the CD. So that was one of my Christmas presents to myself. I ordered this Bernie Taupin Two Room CD.
Yeah.
But Mark, his eclectic taste in music. You can, I challenge any fan at our next show, if you see us at Three Count, just come up to him and say, hey, what is, and he could tell you. I don't care.
Now somebody will stump me. That'll be the, but movies is kind of my, you'll see in the update, even as I was buying these movies at Second and Charles, he went, man, you got some, we don't see people coming up here and buying these kind of movies.
So I probably shouldn't tell you that I just took a bunch of movies to Goodwill.
I know. And I saw it and I was like, why did you gave 300 DVDs away and didn't even give me the chance to thumb through them and give you a dollar a piece for them?
Listen,
you just gave them away.
There's a reason that I got rid of them. I didn't want to saddle you down.
You're not. I love it. I've bought 50 DVDs.
Do you have the Shadow?
No. No, I don't.
I think I gave it away, and I regret that. No, I think I've got it. I think I kept that. Because I tried to keep DVD. If it was something that I could readily.
So what you say, which Goodwill did you take them to?
Oh, the one in Seneca.
So I guess I need to go to that Goodwill.
Yeah.
Buy your movies.
And there's a bunch of them. There was one point that I had my, when before HD came out, I had my DVR hooked up to a DVD recorder. Uh-huh. And dude, I was, I can't remember if it was Time Warner. Our cable company basically just had a free movie channels.
Uh-huh.
And I was putting a bunch of them on DVDs, and I got credit for those from Goodwill.
Oh, nice.
I broke the law.
Yeah.
So don't you ever call me. You just remember who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So listen.
You're a wild one.
So we are here. I should have said this. This is the Double Dropkick Show. It's the podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, no matter what era that was, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. We are beginning. We have been on this journey, and I'm so excited. I am looking at the dry erase board. We have 64 names right here. We took 32 men from the WWE, WWF, 32 men from the current wrestlers, 32 men from NWA, WCW, and 32 men from miscellaneous promotions. Got it down to 16 from each of those, and now our final 64, and we're going to do the first side of the bracket, which you'll be able to find on our Facebook group and on the website.
And given what we, given the 5 minutes we talked before we started with this, this will probably be the longest episode of this tournament.
Yes, yes, yes. So here we go. Matchup number one of the greatest fantasy tournament in the history of civilization. Here's match number one.
I don't think we're going to discuss these as much as you think we are.
I think we owe it to the people.
Okay.
All right. First match.
Goldberg versus Nick Bockwinkel.
All right. What are your thoughts?
I like Nick Bockwinkel.
I think
he's a great promo. However, Goldberg was such a huge star.
Yeah.
And it was for just a short time.
Right.
But he was such a huge star that he was able to walk away, come back 15 years later, and still be over.
Yeah, with two moves.
Yeah, with two moves.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, I have to give Goldberg the nod over Nick Bockwinkel.
And you said something that I want to make it very clear. You and I are not booking this as fans.
No.
We are booking this as bookers, as men trying to make money, as men trying to draw
right,
a crowd.
Because I know something, and you know something,
mm-hmm.
that the people listening to this don't know. I know who's in the next matchup.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm looking ahead. Okay, well,
yes.
Is Nick Bockwinkel going to have a good match with either one of these other two guys? And I don't think that he is.
Right.
Whereas I think I can put him with one of those guys specifically, and it'll be something very unique.
Yes. And I already see where you're going. So what you need to know, this is broken down. To where every foursome, every group of four has one person from each of our previous brackets.
Yes.
I mean, this is there
right.
are
some, we mixed them all up and kind of paired them off and
a completely blind draw.
Yeah, completely random, completely blind. We've got these guys facing off. So the first matchup, Goldberg versus Bockwinkel. I think we both agree.
Yeah,
Goldberg gets the nod.
Yeah. And that leads to this second matchup, and I like the way you think, and I think I'm thinking the same thing.
You may or may not be.
The second matchup is Yokozuna and Tanahashi.
Right. Which I think, Tanahashi's great.
Yes.
But he looks like an 8-year-old.
He does.
Compared to Yokozuna.
Yeah.
And when I start thinking about the prospect of a matchup where Goldberg, you just said it, has two moves, and one of those moves requires him to pick a guy up over his head and hold him, how does he go into a match against a guy like Yokozuna that's going to take 50% of his offense away from him?
Right. Yes.
How does that match then play out? Because I don't know that Goldberg, as strong as he is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he couldn't pick Yoko up. I just don't know that Yoko could get up for him.
I agree with you.
So
I'm definitely saying Yokozuna.
Yeah, I think Yokozuna, it's all day long over Tanahashi.
All right. So
now, the next one requires a little bit of conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our next matchup Ric Flair and Bruiser Brody.
See, that's a tough one.
I agree.
Ultimately, I would, if I, everybody knows who my favorite wrestlers of all time are, and they both, and Bruiser Brody and Ric Flair are pretty close to the top of that list.
Yes, sir.
The one match of theirs I've seen was a 2 out of 3 falls. It ended in a no contest because that's what Brody did.
Yeah.
But I think that he would have put Flair over in that situation because he would do the jobs occasionally
right.
to do the right thing. And I think that he would know that him going out and having a 45 or 50 minute match with Ric Flair and maybe losing by disqualification
yeah.
would be the way where he could have this phenomenal match. He yeah. could get all of his stuff in,
yeah.
make Flair bounce all over the place for him. Flair goes out and flips and flops and does what Flair does. And then Brody gets disqualified. That's how I see that going. And Flair advancing, but not advancing by pinning Brody.
Right.
Advancing because Brody got himself disqualified.
See, again, that's the difference here. I think when fans are thinking, when we on our Facebook group, they throw up two names or two teams, who you got, they're thinking someone's got to win clean. And when you're Man. Dealing with this sort of situation, there's all sorts of nuances.
Listen, I see. I'm looking three brackets over, and I've already got a finish in mind for a match.
See, that's because you are a wrestling savant.
I would never use the word genius. I certainly wouldn't stop other people from saying it.
I absolutely agree with you, Ric Flair. I think you and the sale to Brody is Brody. You are on a worldwide stage.
Brody didn't care. The sale to Brody is here's your money.
Yeah.
You don't have to get pinned.
Yeah.
Go out and tear the building down.
Tear the building down and make yourself some more money down the road.
And go kill the guy, and then we'll bring you back, and you can challenge whoever wins.
When we get to the night of the championship, you know, Brody, we're not going to throw you in that battle royal.
Right. What we're going to do is sharpen up our undercard and bring in Abby, and we're going to let you be Brody and Abby. And we're going to add 500 more people are going to buy a ticket because they get to see Bruiser Brody versus Abdullah the Butcher.
Yes, sir.
Because I can use him in a different spot on the card, and he still doesn't have to do a job. And that's the main thing.
I can't believe you're letting Ric Flair bury Bruiser Brody. So let me – okay, let's stop right there. Okay. Recently, this week, and we're recording this January 5th, 2017, in the year of our Lord. So somebody just put in our Facebook group, Ric Flair, that they thought Ric Flair was overrated. The caveat is you and I both agree that the terms overrated and underrated completely understood by modern society.
Mm-hmm.
All right? What you just described in the match that you booked between Ric Flair and Bruiser Brody is precisely why Ric Flair is not overrated. Because there's 64 men in this tournament and maybe three that could do what you just asked them to do with Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah. I mean, you pick a name. I mean, you put a lot of guys in there with Brody, they couldn't handle it.
Right.
They wouldn't want to do that. They wouldn't want to go get their butt kicked for 45. I don't understand. Well, I understand.
Yeah.
Other people don't understand
yeah.
that letting a guy beat you up for 45 minutes is not burying them.
Right.
But people don't know. If I had a dollar for every time I looked on that group and somebody used a term that they didn't understand.
I think that's an episode, the top 10 misunderstood terms of wrestling
yeah,
fans.
I don't get it, man.
All right, here we go. The next
match. I do get it. They don't. I'm right. Sorry.
Next matchup is Ted DiBiase and Matt Hardy.
I mean, that's Ted DiBiase,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Matt Hardy, as good as this broken Hardy thing is,
yeah.
Matt Hardy is a mid-carder.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I like Matt Hardy.
I agree.
I like what he's doing now, but he has his entire career, he's a mid-card tag team wrestler.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with being a mid-card guy.
The man has made a... Have you seen his house?
Yeah,
he's made
a lot of money. He's over. He's made money outside of WWE, which everybody says can't be done. He does it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also one of those guys that until he's in, he and his brother both, yeah. until they're in the WWE Hall of Fame, people will say they should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's,
yeah, so, and they will be eventually.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, one day they're going to be there. But Ted DiBiase is there, and Ted DiBiase is a main eventer.
Yeah.
He main evented in several companies. He was on a short list along with Ric Flair as the guy that was going to take the NWA title and run with it for a long time.
Right.
And they chose Flair over him. But, and I've seen his Spirit of 76 match with Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And I know how good it was, and I know how good the matchup of Flair versus DiBiase is going to be.
Yes. Yes, sir. Next we have Booker T and Stan Hansen.
Who you think?
Well, here's the thing. And to get here, Booker T had to go over one of the greats.
Big Van Vader. Yeah.
And I love Booker T. I think as far as a guy who came in as a tag team wrestler and then the singles career he had, he's right there with Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. As far, I'm not talking about skill. I'm talking about the success. I mean, he did about everything.
He's done everything. He's a main event guy.
And then you got Stan Hansen, and there's part of me that's like, Brody's not going forward. Vader's. I'm thinking about Young Mark.
Yeah, I'm going with Stan Hansen just because, you know, he's Stan Hansen.
I think that's just going to be a great, great, great match, and I think eventually he hits that lariat, and there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go. This is a match, Bret Hart and Okada.
See, that's not even a question for me, but you go ahead.
No, I don't think it's a question. I don't disagree with you. I just think that's a great match. And I mean, I'm still waiting for – I'm really anxious to hear your thoughts on the Wrestle Kingdom 11 main event, Okada and Kenny Omega, because Okada, he changed his hair.
Oh, Lord.
But no, it's just like normal hair now.
Really?
It's not like the bleach blonde
stuff.
It's not that anymore.
See, I was having a conversation with somebody, a guy we know the other day, and I think Okada's kind of overrated. He very much disagrees, and I caught some flack from some friends of ours. Why would you know this? Have you seen it? I've seen him. I've watched him do all that. I'm not saying that bell to bell he's not good. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. He kind of is like Bret Hart.
Yeah.
He knows how to do everything, and he does everything very well, and it's very believable.
Yeah.
But he just, to me, doesn't have a lot of personality.
Right. Right.
And the personality that he does have is kind of strange. The Rainmaker and the bleach. I don't know. It's just something about the presentation of him that I'm just not a big fan of.
Right.
And not... Bell to Belly's great.
Yes. Yeah.
But everything else.
Right. Gotcha.
It's not something.
And but, so Bell to Bell for me, this is going to be a great match. And I think Bret Hart's.
Yeah. And plus, when I see Bret Hart versus Stan Hansen, how am I not going to want to see that match? Bret Hart's going to hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Next I don't know what I'm trying to think of. Next on the ticket, I don't know. Is this a match that ever happened? We got Barry Windham and Jerry Lawler.
God, you would think that at some point it almost had to have happened somewhere in the country, but I don't recall it.
Because I don't remember Barry doing Mid-South. He would have been in Florida during that time in the early 80s. I don't think they crossed paths in NWA, WCW. I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't think it.
Lawler may have went to Florida, but I doubt it. He didn't travel a whole lot.
Right, right.
Which I got Windham in an upset because I see who else, and it's just a real big, cool fantasy matchup for me that I think if you put two guys that I would from two different generations, but are both physically. I just want you to, I don't want to spoil Let's just go ahead and go with Wyndham over Lawler.
I agree with you. So that now gonna can, that's going to be a
it's great
gonna
be
match.
A great match, and Wyndham's yeah. going to – everybody's going to think Lawler's going to win, and Wyndham's going to upset him.
Yeah.
Because Lawler wants to go back to Memphis and play softball.
Correct.
That's what people have to understand about some of this.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler didn't care about traveling all over the country. He liked working in Memphis and making a good living working in Memphis.
Yeah.
I think people don't understand that about some guys. I've heard this criticism of the Young Bucks. Well, they – could have they can't get into WWE, or they would if they could.
Right.
You have to, some people
yeah.
in this world, believe it or not, look at things differently, and they
right.
say, man, if I can make 50-60 grand a year selling t-shirts,
yeah,
and I can make another couple of hundred grand a year working in Japan,
yeah,
and then I can make, I don't think people know how much they get paid for independent bookings.
No. I'm not aware of that number.
It's like $1,500 a piece.
Yeah.
Or somewhere along those lines. It's a lot of money to book the Young Bucks. They don't
yeah.
and they're getting booked on their weekends off when they're in the States.
Well,
I don't
know that they're I think outside of Ring of Honor, according to them, outside of Ring of Honor, New Japan, but no, they did the deal in Argentina with
yeah.
the Hardys. But
well, let's say they make a piece. Let's say they make 50 grand a year.
Yeah.
Selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
And they make, I don't know, 20, 25 grand a year working for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And they make 50, 60 grand a year working for New Japan.
Yeah.
That's pretty good living.
Yeah.
And they're home a lot.
Yeah. And
they're with their families.
And that's
what some people prefer that.
Yeah.
To the, when we've talked about this before, Kevin Nash,
mm-hmm.
to book Kevin Nash, it's like $5,000.
Yeah.
And
right,
you have to buy him a first-class plane ticket.
Yeah.
And provide a rental car.
And a hotel.
And a hotel.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas if Kevin Nash is working for the WWE, he might get $5,000 for an appearance for them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also got to buy his own plane ticket. He's also got to buy his hotel.
Yeah.
He may not, because he's
right.
a top guy and they bring
right.
him in for something special. They may cover that. But for a mid-card tag team,
yeah,
their travel and expenses is that comes out of their paydays. Whereas with these guys who like Cody Rhodes,
yeah,
he goes around and works every weekend and his travel is paid. It's
yes.
covered. And they make money at their gimmick tables. And for some guys,
yeah,
that's more important to them.
Yeah. And
I don't know why. I just felt like I needed to say that.
People hate on the Young Bucks, and I'm a huge fan of them. Not just their I'm a bigger fan of them outside the ring.
Yeah.
Because I've heard their yeah. shooting interviews, obviously, them being Christians. And for them, when I talked to them, I said, hey, I appreciate the way you guys do business. They said, our families always come first.
See?
And they want
now. You know, I don't know them outside the ring, so I could care less how they are. It doesn't matter to me,
right?
I don't care where they go to church at. I don't care about their families,
right?
None of that matters to me.
When you pay money to see them, that's what you care about.
Listen, if I'm gonna watch somebody,
right,
cut a bunch of flips, because I heard somebody else,
yeah.
Michael Hofer say, well, they can't do any moves that other people don't let them do and set them up for. I got news for you. Neither could anybody else that gets in a ring.
Right.
You can't body slam a guy that don't want to be body slammed.
Right.
You can't. Now, a big guy might be able to
yeah.
take a real small guy and do some things against his will
right.
in the ring. But for the most part, brother, you put two guys that are 6'4", 6'5" in there together, ain't nobody doing nothing that –
Yeah, and case in point, I would direct you to the YouTube footage of the Bruiser Brody Lex Luger
yeah,
cage match.
Exactly,
from Florida.
Exactly. So anyway, to our next match, Psycho Sid Vicious versus Chris Hero. I'm going with Chris Hero.
Yes, sir.
Because I want to see Barry Windham versus Chris Hero.
Yes.
Because there's two guys that started out slim, got big, but even as big as they were, you could just tell naturally were made to be wrestlers.
Yes.
The way they position their bodies and the way they do everything in the ring. You've probably seen him do it too. Barry Windham could step from the floor between the second and the top rope. and step up into the ring from the floor.
I've never seen
You've never seen him do it. You should go back and watch footage. It's the little things that people don't notice. Go watch Barry Windham climb from the floor into the ring and how smooth he does it.
Wow.
There's so many guys that you don't even think about the little things that make a guy look like a professional wrestler. And one of them is getting in and out of the ring.
Yeah.
And Barry Windham does it so smoothly and fluidly that you hardly even notice him do it. But I've seen him go from the floor into the ring, stepping over a rope.
Wow.
And you don't even notice him do it. He's that smooth at what he does.
He is. Okay, let me ask you this. All right, we've never talked about this before. You prefer Windham as a babyface or a heel?
Probably. See, I think Barry Windham was a great babyface because I think here's to me what makes a great babyface. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about great. I'm not talking about whatever. A great babyface is a guy that women love.
Yes.
And that men say, I'd like to have a beer with him.
Yes.
There's a lot of dudes out there that the women like.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wrestlers like Dick Murdoch that men like.
Yes.
But to find a guy that all the men want to hang out with and all the women want to sleep with is not easy to do.
That's why Roman Reigns is such a quandary, because all the women, you talked about your wife.
My wife walked through and said, who's that guy?
Yeah, yeah. But then all the guys right now, it's cool to boo him. But if we're being honest,
you'd trade places with him tomorrow.
Right.
You'd trade places with him. You'd trade places with John Cena.
You'd trade places with Mark Whitman.
You know, you can't trade places with me, as I like to tell my lady friends. You can never be first, but you can always be next.
Is that really what you tell them?
All one of them. tell my wife that all the time. And my sister.
All right. Now, Nick. Okay, so we're moving along. I already see some.
So is that one episode, or are we going to do all of these?
No, we're going to do one more. You know what? We're 26 minutes in. I think that's an episode.
That's one bracket.
So here we go. Moving on to the second round. In the second round, you're going to see Goldberg versus Yokozuna. You're going to see Ric Flair versus Ted DiBiase, Stan Hansen versus Bret Hart, and Barry Windham versus Chris Hero. Now, all of these matches, every match of this tournament, you're going to get tired of seeing it, and I don't care. You're going to get a poll for every one of these matches, and we're going to let you pick. Matter of fact, those polls might be going out before some of these episodes.
Just for the record, though, it doesn't really matter to me how you vote. I'm still going, because I know that people are going to vote.
Right.
They're not voting on things the way that I see things.
They vote on who they like.
They vote on who they like.
Well, you and I, so if you haven't listened to how we got here, you're probably, you know, you need to understand Shawn Michaels isn't in this final 64. Because we had him blind draw. He was against Randy Savage.
Yeah.
We chose Randy Savage because of all the other issues about who do we want to, as men, who do we want to deal with?
And who do I want representing my company
right
at the end of this tournament if Shawn Michaels wins this whole thing?
Yeah.
And then Shawn Michaels decides he doesn't like somebody that I got him programmed with, and all of a sudden he don't want to drop the title.
Right.
And he'd find out that as a booker, I'm a lot more like Ole Anderson and a lot less like Vince McMahon.
Right.
And I'd tell him to go on somewhere.
Yeah.
So I told him to go on somewhere in the first round. That way I don't have to deal with it.
You did. And we did the same thing with Kevin Nash and Razor Ramon.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with them. Why not?
Roddy Piper?
I'm going to go ahead and cut the cancer out early on. That way I don't have to deal with that.
Right.
Hey, listen, I like Bruiser Brody. Same thing.
Yeah. See it right.
Why do I want to? I love Bruiser Brody, but why would I want to deal with what happens if I got to ask Bruiser Brody to put Jeff Hardy over?
Bruiser Brody, please have a match with Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to deal with that?
Yeah. Hey, so maybe you're listening to this and you're like, man, I wish they would talk about something else. Well, guess what? In a couple of weeks,
start a podcast and talk about what you want to talk about.
Or go to patreon.com/doubledropkick.
Give me some money. I'll talk about whatever you want me
We're
to.
We're lining up. I want to thank, I don't have it right in front of me.
Jeff Becker. Is that right?
Our latest patron.
Convert.
Yeah, our latest convert. And hey, I think Jeff's been giving us a lot of Twitter love, and
he has, man. Really, I was gonna make sure I had the right name because I damn sure hate to call him Jeff Pecker or something like that to be wrong about it.
It's Jeff Becker.
Listen, Jeff, you have to know that I'll crack on anybody. Jeff Becker, I was right. Hey, you can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna give him a shout
yes,
out.
Yes, sir.
It's @Becker_Jeff23.
Yes.
So go follow
him. But in a couple of weeks, we're recording.
Don't follow Mike Hofer, though.
Mike Hofer, he got the $10 level.
Yeah.
We're going to be recording an episode with him. Jeff Becker and some other guys, we're lining up, contacting them. They get to pick a topic that you and I are going to talk about. So I'm really, really excited about that.
I think we're going to – I hope that we get three guys who ask us to talk about our favorite job guys of all time.
I think eventually we're going to – I think we may do that just as a Patreon
that may
episode.
Be a good, that may be a good episode, sure enough.
So, listen, like I said, go to patreon.com/doubledropkick. You see whether you give $1 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, you see the different levels, the different things that you get. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you some of those things are going to be changing, okay? Some of those things are going to be changing, so if you might want to go ahead and jump in on that before it's too late. So again, thanks to everybody that supports the show in that way. DoubleDropKick.com is where you can go. You can listen to all our past episodes. There's banners on there. There's only one thing to do to a banner.
Click on it. That's his job.
That's right.
It's sitting there hanging out waiting on somebody to come along and click on it.
We've been doing a lot of posts about some great High Spots memorabilia. When you click and you go shop at High Spots, which is, I would say, for me, that's where I get all my wrestling memorabilia. They got some great deals.
Yeah, and you can trust them. It's legit.
Right.
It's probably something that like Jim Cornette gave them as a gift and they turned around and sold, but, you know. Which is why they have heat with him.
Right, right. I think there's a lot of reasons they have heat. But anyway, a lot of the links and banners, you click on doubledropkick.com, you can support us. You can also, Facebook, we have a group that is growing by leaps and bounds.
Ain't it though? That's kind of weird.
I think we're crossing 35,000 members today. Yeah. And thank you. And there's some poor soul right now. And you're listening to this, and you were in the group, and you can't find it anymore, and you trying to message me, like, where'd the group go? Let me tell you, moron, you broke one of the – we ain't got a lot of rules, but there are rules, and if you don't like them, you start your own Facebook group.
This is like the other day I made a post.
Yeah.
And immediately, like, people – I don't know what's up with these homophobes.
Right.
But they get on these posts, and they start throwing out these homophobic slurs, and I don't care for that. And
right.
It's not going to stand with me.
Right.
And the difference between my posts – and everybody else in the group's post, except for you and a couple of other people,
yeah.
I can just, I can perform surgery on my comment section and I take them right out. I don't even know how.
You can also turn the comments off.
Yeah.
And
which I don't do because I think we'll get into this. They don't want to hear us discuss things about our wrestling group on the air, but I do have a couple of suggestions about that.
But it is a great, it's a great group. A lot of good conversation. There's a ton of wrestling groups on Facebook, and our aim every single day is to keep our group a little bit different. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't allow the arguing and the trolling and the language. Like, that we want to have a level of that you can disagree.
I don't care about the language, but I do care about homophobic and racial slurs.
Oh, really?
Like the guy there was this one guy that he kind of made some veiled racist comments.
Really?
On a post.
Do you remember his name?
I don't.
We have not blocked him.
I don't. But it wasn't like over it. But you could just tell that it was coming
right
from a place of being a bit of a racist.
Yeah.
It was on the New Day
Right. Gotcha.
Black Excellence post.
Yeah.
And which I did. And then after making the comments, he submitted that we remove the post. That was, yeah, you probably didn't see it.
No.
Because why should I remove a post that you said something stupid on? Why wouldn't I just let your stupid comments hang out there in the ether for everybody to see them?
Right.
You said it, not me.
Right.
So
right.
I'll just leave them out there, and that way everybody can read it and come along and see it. So I don't feel the need to go around and police all that stuff. You said something stupid, not me.
Right.
And now you don't get to take it back and have me remove it for you.
No, right. No, like stuff like that, I agree. I'll let that I'll let it hang because I you know, sometimes you just prove yourself to be a moron.
Yeah.
And I think that deserves to.
And hey, for the record, I didn't mind the New Day's post.
I thought it was great.
What's wrong with that?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, like, for the first time in the history of the wrestling business, you have this many African Americans holding titles, working at the top of the card. That is something to be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely.
That says a lot about where the wrestling business is going. Yes, it's not just like those guys. It's where the wrestling business is at today.
Yeah.
To have that many headline African American acts holding titles is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
And if you have a problem with it,
yeah,
with them being proud of that,
yeah,
I don't know how to say this because I don't.
You would have hated Ron Simmons' promo from January 1988,
right? You would have, and I was going, yeah, that was cool. Right, but that 1988,
yeah, yeah.
What's that? Almost 30 years ago
in 88,
when we were 13 years old, you had a man standing on TV, an African-American, say, not that there had been.
No.
My goal is to be the first
yeah.
African-American heavyweight champion. That was in 1988.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you don't understand why that some African-American athletes would be proud
yeah.
of where the business is going. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the business that I love, where it's gone.
Yes, sir.
The advancements that have been made, then I don't want you in our group anyway.
Right.
I don't need you in our group. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care if you turn my podcast off and quit listening to it.
No. No, because we're not going to get through to you.
No. And I don't care.
Right.
Don't need you as a friend.
Right.
Don't want you as a supporter if you don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, in typical fashion.
And the same thing stands for me and people using homophobic.
Ridiculous.
Slurs.
Ridiculous.
I'm not going to stand for it.
Right.
On my post.
Yeah.
Now, if you say something stupid on somebody else's post, I'm probably going to leave it out there so everybody can see what kind of person you are. But you are not going to say it on my post.
My thinking in that is if you'll say something like that once, okay, for me in my group, okay, You've let me see where you're coming from.
Right, right.
And if I don't want it, I don't have to have it, you know?
Right, and usually, like, if somebody tries to, because you know how to do it, and I don't. So if somebody posts something for approval that's stupid, I may go through and approve everything else.
Yeah.
But I'll leave that, because I know you'll see it and delete them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how, and I don't.
There's two buttons. One says approve. One says delete.
No, I'm talking about the person that posts it.
Oh, gotcha. Facebook is a funky
anyway,
tool.
Anyway,
so let's get to Twitter. You can talk to us on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
And we're just getting started with this tournament, man. We haven't recorded in about a month, so we're getting some stuff out of our system.
Yeah.
It's always good. And on our next...
I'm usually full of piss and vinegar first thing in the morning anyway. So.
Well, we're kind of midday right now. So anyway, we're moving along. Can't tell you, you know, what next week's episode is going to be. This might be your lucky week. You may be getting two episodes this week. I'm just going to throw that
out. I'm kind of a fan of doing four of these and then doing our wrap-up of the NWA thing. At some point,
we got to go get some lunch. I read that Taco Bell was the healthiest fast food restaurant.
Really?
I thought I sent you the link.
I don't think you did.
The only link. Listen, forget all the links except for this. DoubleDropKick.com. And as always, For the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.